Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. We've sung about that today in these wonderful songs that Logan has led us in. Several of the songs today are prayer songs, just as we've been singing over these last several weeks during this series on powerful prayers. Our shepherd Grant Knight, during our prayer time, asked God to hear our burdens and to take our burdens. And what a blessing it is in our prayers to be able to take our burdens to God. At the end of this lesson, Logan's going to lead us in my mother's favorite song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, which is a call to pray to our friend. You want to hear some great encouraging words about prayer? Talk to someone like Fred and Sandra Wingate. What a blessing, brother, to see you up here today. Great, great blessing. And what a blessing you are to this church. People, I think, that don't have faith, that don't understand what it's like when you're going through something that's more than what you can bear, to know the comfort and the power of people praying for you. It's impossible to communicate the emotional and spiritual help that you get from knowing that there are people who care about you who are praying for you. I imagine most all of us have been on the receiving end of such prayers. What a great blessing. And as Davey led us with the kids, it is who standing in the need of prayer? It's me. For some of you, that was a bit nostalgic, taking you back to your youth group days. But it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. In this series on powerful prayers, we're changing our focus now for the next few weeks to Jesus. For the next three lessons, our series on powerful prayers will focus on Jesus. We'll focus on Jesus. And I get what you're thinking. You're thinking, Bill, isn't that the focus of every sermon? Shouldn't it be the focus, Bill, of every sermon? Well, yeah, of course. But over the last several weeks, we've seen some Old Testament prayers. We've seen some prayers from the epistles. We've seen very powerful prayer from the book of Acts in the early church. And so for the next 3 weeks, I want us to focus on what Jesus has to say about prayer. And I'm going to use these three sermons to speak about these three topics: Jesus teaching on prayer, that prayer that we typically call, have traditionally called, the Lord's Prayer, and also Jesus' prayer life itself. And that's where we're going over these next few weeks. Interestingly enough, what we call the Lord's Prayer is found not only in Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, but also in Luke. But it's in a different place in Luke 11. And the way Luke introduces that prayer is in response to the disciples coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we'll share about that next week. And then the week after, we'll look at Jesus' prayer life in particular. But today, I want us to look at a few of our Lord's teachings on prayer. We could share a lot, couldn't we, about what Jesus has to say about prayer and what we see in his life, what we see in his works even, and what those things tell us about Jesus and his prayer life, his importance that he placed on prayer, the Son of God himself, praying to the Heavenly Father. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to look at some of that. But today, specifically, a few of his teachings on prayer, and primarily they come from parables. Jesus loved to teach in parables. A parable is loosely defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. As we look at parables, we realize Jesus tells them to make a point, and each parable has a specific point. There are lots of other applications as well. Some of the parables have a little bit of explanation about where it's coming from, maybe a hint or two about what that point is based on the situation in which Jesus tells it. We'll see some of that today. But as we look at the Lord's teachings on prayers, on prayer this morning, I want us to look at some of his parables and some of his other teaching as well. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount that we mentioned, Matthew 5 through 7, included in that is Matthew chapter 6, which speaks a lot about worship, public worship, and a lot about prayer. And Jesus tells us we must have the right motives when we pray. We must have the right motives when we pray. This is one of those passages where, as Jesus does his teaching, we get a little bit of a hint from Matthew as he begins this. In verse 1, Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So Jesus is going to be talking to us about our motives when we worship, about our motives when we fast, about our motives when we give, and about our motives when we pray. And Jesus tells us we must have the right motives when we pray, and he's already told us the wrong motive. In verse 1, the wrong motive is so that others will see us, so that they'll hear our wonderful prayer, or they'll see us praying so devoutly, and they'll think better of us. And that's not the goal in prayer. And that should never be our motives in anything we do, certainly not in our worship, certainly not in our prayers. And so Jesus goes on and he talks about giving, first of all, but then he speaks about prayer, starting in verse 5. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them," Jesus says, "for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, I wish that had said, "And when you preach, Bill, don't go on babbling like the pagans." Okay, I get it. I get it. I understand. And he talks to preachers in some other passages, but this one he's speaking to all of us about praying. And he says the nature of the prayer and its effectiveness is not about how many words it has or the quality of words or anything like that. Now, let's talk about what this is not saying. Jesus is not saying never pray out loud. He's not saying never pray in public. How do you know that, Bill? Well, because I've read the rest of the Bible, actually. And as we've been going on through this series, we've been reading prayers that people prayed and obviously others heard because it was recorded. And Acts chapter 4 is a wonderful prayer that's recorded when the church was threatened by the Jewish and Roman leaders. And those words are recorded when the church got together after Peter and John came back from being threatened. They prayed, and we heard that. And it was a very genuine prayer, a very sincere prayer, very honest prayer, acknowledging that the threat is real. They could do what they're threatening to do. They did it to Jesus. And so Jesus is not saying never pray out loud. He's not saying never let people hear you when you pray. So what is he saying? I think he's saying have the right motives. Don't pray just to be seen by others. Let your prayers be genuine and sincere. Don't pray so that you'll receive the reward of instant gratification, so that people around you will think what a great person you are, what great faith you are, what a marvelous prayer. I've been around people who had the gift of leading prayers. Seriously. I remember we had a dear friend in Arlington. His name was Bill Taylor. He's a wonderful black man, huge. I think he'd been in the military, and he had this really resounding, deep voice. And he had the best prayer. I mean, he was just a wonderful prayer leader in the congregation. He became one of our elders, and he was just such an incredible man of faith, and that spewed out in his prayers. And I remember he had such an impact that he was one of the first ones I remember ever referring to God in prayer as Father God. A lot of times it's our Father or dear Father or dear God or Lord or something like that. But when he led prayers, he would say, Father God, blah, blah, blah. And then I began to notice something. We began to notice something for weeks and weeks after that. And still, there would be men who would get up to pray and they would address God as, guess what? Father God. And I think they were doing that sincerely and they were doing that genuinely. I know Bill Taylor certainly was doing it genuinely and sincerely. But it had an impact. Did he want to have an impact so that people would think what marvelous prayers he has? Absolutely not. And if that had been his motive, I would have never thought that about him. But his motive was pure, genuine, out of love for the church, out of love for God, and a respect for that Father God that he knew would respond to our prayers. Be genuine. Be sincere. Don't do it to be seen by others. Don't do it just to have a lot of words. And that's when Jesus takes advantage of that moment in Matthew's gospel and tells them what that looks like in what we call the Lord's Prayer. But again, we'll look at that next week. Have the right motives when you pray. Secondly, we must be persistent in prayer. We must be persistent in prayer. Jesus teaches about that, and we read that in some of his parables, certainly in this one, in Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, verse 8, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, the NIV says, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And then the application, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We must be persistent in prayer. And Jesus gives us several reasons for that. And the first one is taken out of life. That neighbor has some unexpected company. They just dropped in. And they weren't ready. And so they go next door and they ask for some extra bread. And the neighbor says, oh man, I am comfortable. I am warm or cool, whichever. I am not getting out of this bed. But why does he ultimately get out of the bed? Hey, Joe, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until you come out, Joe. I got company. I'm not going back empty-handed, Joe. I know you got bread. Jesus is saying, look, that guy will get up. Not because he loves his neighbor so much, but because he wants to respond to his persistence. Again, in a parable, you have to be careful about how much you apply. Certainly, Jesus is not one that doesn't care about us. But what Jesus is saying is, be persistent. Don't give up. You say, but Bill, I've been praying for this for years. I know. And that's hard. That's hard. But don't give up. Keep praying. Yes, add that line, thy will be done. That's one of my favorite prayers these days about everything that's going on all around us, by the way. But don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Jesus says, hey, ask and it'll be given. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Earthly fathers know how to give good gifts in response to what is asked for in their homes. How much more God? Will God do the same thing? Certainly true. Certainly true. And another parable that Jesus gives that speaks to this is in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Okay, that's a little bit of a clue about the parable that's about to be told. If you want to know, okay, what is this? How does this apply? That's the answer. Luke is telling us, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And then Jesus' application in verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's almost like Jesus is saying, will he find people still praying? Again, be careful how you apply this. Obviously, God is not like the unjust judge in some ways. He cares about his people. He actually wants people to experience justice and fairness on this earth. But Jesus is applying what this judge, how he would respond to the one thing that this woman, this widow, would not quit doing, and that is asking. Continually asking over and over again until he finally says yes. And then Jesus applies it in verses 6 through 8, and he says, an unjust judge would respond, how much more than a just and holy and loving God? How much more will he respond to those of his children that he loves that keep asking? Again, at the very beginning, we should always pray and never give up. You say, well, Bill, sometimes I go through a period of time where I'm just tired and I'm just depressed and I just feel like I've given up and I stop praying for a while. Okay, I get that. But don't stop praying forever. Hang in there. Hang in there. Keep asking. Again, with the recognition that God, this may not be your will. It sure doesn't appear to be your will. But I want you to know it's still what I want. And so I'm going to tell you again and ask you again. Jesus says, always be persistent in prayer. I'm not going to tell you the P and the R and the Y of Davies, P-R-A-Y, but do you remember what the A was? Ask. Ask. Keep asking. And the reason I'm not telling you those is not because I don't remember. I wrote them down, but this one fits so well, brother, so I'm just going to say the A. Keep asking. Finally, letter C, the third one. Jesus' teachings on prayer continues in Luke chapter 18. We must pray with humility. This could be one of Jesus' most well-known parables, along with the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son and the sons and the loving father. This one ranks right up there as well. Luke 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Okay, now you know where he's going, right? He's calling on us to have humility in prayer, to be humble, because he's speaking directly to some of those who had that wrong motive, who had that wrong attitude, who were proud and arrogant in their prayers, who weren't praying out of genuineness, who weren't praying out of sincerity, who didn't recognize how great the God they were about to talk to was and how sinful they themselves are. And so Jesus told them a story, told them a parable. Verse 10 of Luke 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, a religious leader, and the other a tax collector, an outcast, basically. the Pharisee, stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Sound like a sincere, genuine prayer to me, right? Jesus described him well as one who prayed about himself. Verse 13, but the tax collector, the outcast, the man nobody would talk to, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He got it. He recognized the greatness of the God he was addressing and his own sinfulness. Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man rather than the other went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We must pray with humility. We must pray acknowledging our sins and repent. I think that's the R word, isn't it, Davey? We must pray and ask for God's forgiveness, recognizing Him as the great God and ourselves as sinners who have no right to go to Him, and yet He has called us to do exactly that. We must pray with humility. God, forgive me, a sinner. Well, the interesting thing to me about prayer and Jesus is that Jesus not only taught about prayer, Jesus Himself prayed. That is phenomenal to me. Every once in a while, I stop for a minute and think about that one thing, and it's amazing to me. The Son of God prayed. The Son of God, who had all power and all knowledge and all wisdom, who is from eternity and would exist for eternity, He prayed. He prayed. Again, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer as he taught us to pray next week. And then we'll look at the prayer life of our Lord Himself and not just say that Jesus prayed, but actually give examples of when He prayed. And I've said it before, but the most powerful reason we should pray is this. Jesus prayed. Talk about a call to prayer. If the Son of God Himself prayed, I can't imagine Bill not praying. I can't imagine. What a friend we have in Jesus. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of cares at you today? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you need a friend today, if we can help you and lead you to be closer to that friend that we pray to, that we look to, that encourages us to pray, come as we stand and sing this great hymn.